Welcome to the Beacon broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
We have come to a verse in our study in Colossians that deals with the subject of baptism, namely Colossians 2:12, which we introduced on the broadcast yesterday and are going to continue that discussion, Lord willing, today. And I have five questions that I am addressing to this text in order to try to understand what exactly the Apostle Paul, guided by the Holy Spirit of God, is communicating to the Colossian believers when he says in verse 12, "Buried with him in baptism, in which you also are raised with him, through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead." Baptism, linked to the idea of circumcision in verse 11, and now to the concept of baptism in verse 12, and that raises a lot of questions and requires, I think, some pretty thoughtful examination of this text so that we can hopefully understand what God is communicating to us. If we can understand what he was communicating to the Colossians, then surely we will understand what he's communicating to us, but we have to be sure that we understand that, or at least come as near sure as it's possible to come as we study this important section of God's Word. So to that end, we gather together once again around the Word of God on the Beacon broadcast on this Friday, June 17, thanking you for joining us and thanking you for supporting us with your gifts so that we can continue teaching on this station. The first question addressed to the text and already discussed on the broadcast yesterday is the question, is Paul speaking about water baptism or spirit baptism? And I simply remind you that both are taught in Scripture. There is water baptism, to be sure. There is the baptism by the Spirit or of the Spirit, to be sure. Both of these are taught in Scripture, and both of them are extensive subjects. You could take either one and expound upon that topic for a long, long time if you're going to examine all of the texts in the New Testament that deal with, on the one hand, water baptism, and on the other hand, Spirit baptism. But to cut to the chase, I will tell you what I said on the broadcast yesterday, and that is that my conclusion is that here in Colossians 2:12, the Apostle Paul is talking about spirit baptism. When he says, "buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead," I believe he's talking about the baptism by the Holy Spirit. The circumcision of which he spoke in the previous verse was not actual literal physical circumcision, but was rather an operation of the Spirit of God. It was what we could call spirit circumcision. And the two verses seem to be very closely linked together. And in the next verse, he's talking about baptism, and I think all the indicators point to the fact that he's talking about spirit baptism. So that brings me to question number two, which is, what does this baptism accomplish, this spirit baptism? Well, it accomplishes, first of all, and most importantly, union with Christ. We are told we are buried with him. And this is talking about the work of the Holy Spirit joining believers to Christ, making us members of Christ's body, actually joining us to Christ in this mysterious union by which believers in Jesus Christ become a part of Christ and are joined to Christ and draw nourishment from Christ like a branch to the vine, and the life of Christ flows into those who are joined to Christ, and all of that is accomplished by the Holy Spirit. We are here buried with Him in baptism. Could we say of water baptism that in water baptism we are joined to Christ, that that accomplishes union with Christ? Well, I certainly don't believe that. In all fairness, I must say that there are some who do. Those who teach baptismal regeneration believe that in the act of water baptism, we are joined to Christ. And, of course, they draw that conclusion from this text and others, other texts that could be added to it, but this one in particular, because it does talk about this baptism being accomplishing union with Christ. And because they think it's talking about water baptism, they therefore conclude that water baptism accomplishes union with Christ. But because I'm convinced that water baptism does not accomplish that, that has led me to the opposite understanding, namely that this text is talking about Spirit baptism, baptism by the Holy Spirit, which does in fact join believers to Jesus Christ. That's what this baptism accomplishes, union with Christ, one with Him. And furthermore, we read that it accomplishes participation in the death of Christ and participation in the resurrection of Christ. Again, reading the whole text. Buried with Him in baptism, in which you also, so this seems to be something additional, were raised with Him through faith in the working of God, who raised Him from the dead. So we are participating with Christ in His death, indicated by the burial, buried with Him, or having been buried with Him, maybe more literally, in baptism. Aorist tense, past event with continuing results. Again, I think clearly talking about regeneration. But it is described here by Paul as being participation in the death of Christ. Burial being a term for the death of Christ. Burial indicates death. It presupposes death and it certifies death. And so here we're told that we participate in the burial of Christ, but of course that's the way, a way of saying that we participate in the death of Christ, because the next thing is the resurrection of Christ. And what we learn, therefore, is that by this act of baptism, we participate in the benefits of His atoning sacrifice. This speaks of propitiation, a sacrifice which propitiates the just wrath of a holy God against sin and against sinners who commit sins. And this speaks of propitiation. The wrath of God is justly satisfied and therefore pardon. And it also speaks of the destruction of our sin nature. And there we find a close parallel to what was said about circumcision in verse 11. In Him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. It was by this work of Christ on behalf of His people that when we believe in Him, the merits of what Christ did are applied to us in such a way that the power of sin is broken in our lives. Our sin nature is destroyed, not to the extent that it disappears completely now. It will when we are with the Lord. That's when it'll completely disappear. But even now, it is dealt its death blow. Well, the same thing is said of baptism in verse 12. Buried with Him in baptism, in which you also were raised with Him through faith in the working of God who raised Him from the dead, and you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, here it goes back to circumcision again, circumcision, verse 11, baptism, verse 12, circumcision, verse 13. But you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. And these things are just intertwined. This idea of the spiritual meaning of circumcision and this spiritual circumcision that applies to believers in Christ. You have already been circumcised with the circumcision that really matters, the circumcision made without hands, the circumcision that is related to Christ's death upon the cross and is applied by the Holy Spirit to believers. And the same thing can be said about baptism. You have already been baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ, and that baptism joined you with Christ, that accomplished your union with Christ, that baptism caused you to participate in the death of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, so that the death of Christ applies to you. What did Christ do upon the cross? He died as an atonement for sins. So if I was buried with him in his death, or baptized with him in his death, or buried with him in baptism in his death, then I have participated in his death upon the cross. So his death counts for me. And then this baptism also indicates participation in the resurrection of Christ. Going on in verse 12, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And participation in the resurrection of Christ speaks of infusion of life and the benefits of his victorious resurrection. Now that's what we are told this baptism accomplishes, which is the second question we are asking of this text. Question number one, is this water baptism or spirit baptism? My answer to that question, it's spirit baptism. Question number two, what does this baptism accomplish? It accomplishes three things. Number one, union with Christ. Number two, participation in the death of Christ. And number three, participation in the resurrection of Christ. Now, here is the way in which all of this is closely linked to water baptism. Namely, that water baptism symbolizes all of these things. This is why we, in our practice of baptism, baptize people who have testified that they have become disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, that's the question that I ask them before baptizing them. Have you become a disciple, or usually I say a follower, which means the same thing. Have you become a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? And they've already given a testimony, but I always ask them that before burying them in the water. And when they say that they have, then by their testimony, they have become a disciple of Christ. They're candidates for baptism. And then I lower that candidate into the water and I say, buried in the likeness of his death. And I raise that candidate out of the water and I say, raised to walk in newness of life. Water baptism symbolizes what Paul tells us in Colossians 2:12, spirit baptism accomplishes. Spirit baptism joins us to Christ. We're identified with him. Spirit baptism participates us, if I can phrase it that way, in the death of Christ. And spirit baptism participates us in the resurrection of Christ. And all of that is portrayed wonderfully, beautifully, very obviously in the immersion of the believer in water. Until tomorrow or until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.